And let us turn in God's words to the second book of the Kings as we continue looking at Elijah and looking at the far end of the children of Israel and the judgment of God which was coming against them. We look at one more example of the wickedness that happens when God does not have his place among his people. So let us read together from 2 Kings, the first chapter. Let us hear together God's word. Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. Now Ahaziah fell through the lattice of his upper room in Samaria and was injured. So he sent messengers and said to them, "Go inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this injury." But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, "Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say to them, 'Is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus says the Lord, you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die.' So Elijah departed. And when the messengers returned to him, he said to them, 'Why have you come back?' So they said to him, 'A man came up to meet us and said to us, go return to the king who sent you and say to him, thus says the Lord, is it because there is no God in Israel that you are sending to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die.' Then he said to him, 'What kind of man was it who came up to meet you and told you these words?' So they answered him, 'A hairy man wearing a leather belt around his waist.' And he said, 'It is Elijah the Tishbite.' Then the king sent to him a captain of 50 with his 50 men. So he went up to him, and there he was sitting on top of the hill. And he spoke to him, 'Man of God, the king has said, come down.' So Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, 'If I am a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your fifty men.' And fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Then he sent to him another captain of 50 with his 50 men. And he answered and said to him, 'Man of God, thus has the king said, come down quickly.' So Elijah answered and said to them, 'If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men.' And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again, he sent a third captain of 50 with his 50 men. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and pleaded with him and said to him, 'Man of God, please let my life and the life of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight. Look, fire has come down from heaven and burned up the first two captains of 50s and with their 50s. But let my life now be precious in your sight.' And the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, 'Go down with him and do not be afraid of him.' So he arose and went down with him to the king. Then he said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, because you have sent messengers to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, is it because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die.' So Ahaziah died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. Because he had no son, Jehoram became king in his place. In the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Now, the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel?" Thus far, the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at this passage of God's word, we need to ask ourselves, what is different about Ahaziah as opposed to what happened with Ahab? Ahab did some horrific things, especially at the will of his wife. But there's something different here than there is with Ahab. Even Ahab did lip service to who God was. But here, the king of Israel sent messengers where? Ahaziah sent messengers to Baal-zebub. Perhaps you might figure through your brain, sounds an awful lot like something in the New Testament. Jesus was accused that he cast out demons by Beelzebub, which is the same name, by the way. Baal-zebub gets identified in that passage with Satan, with a demon. And so, now we have to understand, there's a spirit world going on around us. We often, in our modern culture, don't like to think about that. But there very much is a spiritual world to this world. We as human beings are body-soul creatures. We don't just have a body. No matter how much they try to tell us that everything is just matter bouncing around in our brains causing us to think. No, we have a spirit. We have a soul. That is our thinking portion. And there is a spirit world of things unseen. And Satan is just one of those spirits. We were told in the New Testament that what they worship when they worship false gods are demons. And so you have things like the servant girl in the New Testament who could prophesy, tell things that were going to happen from that perspective of prophesy. What we have to understand is who is greater. God deserves the place as God. Going to some other god will receive God's judgment. And that's what we see in our passage this morning. As we look at Ahaziah seeking guidance from Beelzebub or Baal-zebub, God sends in his word. Because God's word speaks to all the situations of human life. And God brings judgment on the leader of his people for seeking guidance from Baal-zebub. When man does not give God the place that he deserves, God will judge. So God brings judgment on this leader, on this son of Ahab, whom Ahab had been rotten, but he had not stooped this far to take God off of the throne. Even though they worshiped before these other gods, they still knew in the back of their mind that there was a greater God. And they gave him some level of honor. Well, now as Ahaziah is the king of God's people, and he directly goes to Baal-zebub, you see that he has given that honor that God deserves to someone else. So first of all, as Ahaziah has sent messengers to get Baal-zebub's word, God sends his servant, God sends Elijah, his prophet, to answer Ahaziah's question, verses 1 through 8. And then in verses 9 through 18, we see that God brings judgment on the proud, but grace to the humble. And pride includes the idea that we think that some other God should be God instead of the God of the Bible. So God brings judgment on the leader of his people for seeking guidance from Beelzebub. And we see also that those who take orders then from someone who is doing wickedness also receive judgment. There's 102 people dead because they were obedient to the word of Ahaziah instead of to Elijah. So God sends Elijah to answer the question. Ahaziah, of course, as we've said, sends to Baal-zebub. Notice that first verse. Seems a little odd here. Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. Israel is losing power. Ahab had still a great amount of power. Moab had actually been under the control of both Israel and Judah during the time of Ahab. But now they rebel against both, and because Israel was the greater power center, they're mentioned alone here. But then we have Ahaziah, fell through the lattice of his upper room in Samaria. Not certain exactly what went on there, but probably you have lattice because there was an air conditioning, and you would have lattice around your walls, and you would have open rooms so that you could get some cool air, because Israel could get very, very warm. Many people actually slept on the roof because it was cooler up there, because the air would cool down, but the ground wouldn't, and the buildings wouldn't. And so Ahab somehow fell, and he hurt himself, badly falling. And where does he send for guidance, for prophecy? Of course, as we've said, he sends to Baal-zebub to get answers from a demon instead of the God of the Bible. Remember going back that even the king had sent to the prophets of Judah to find out what was going to happen to the baby. Now they send to this Baal-zebub, and he's the god of Ekron. Where's Ekron? Do you remember where Ekron was? Ekron was of the Philistines. And so they were sending outside of God's people to the evil gods of these other cultures for guidance. But God doesn't even allow the messenger to get to Ekron. He sends Elijah to meet him. And notice what God says through Elijah. Is it because there is no God in Israel that you're going to inquire of Baal-zebub? You guys have been serving idols in Israel. But the question really becomes, there's no God here that you can inquire of? Ahab had 400 prophets of Baal. No, not good enough. God doesn't play second fiddle. God and his word come first. Yes, we can use other service or other sources, but God must come first. They must be subservient to God and to his word. We are to give honor to God. So whether it goes, we go to a medical doctor and the medical doctor says this and this and this and this, we say, if God wills this and this and this and this. Or we go to the agronomist and they say, this is what's going to help your field. Or we go to the financial analyst and they say, it's all falling apart. Or we go to the computer guy or whoever it happens to be. Our first service, our first honor goes to God. And so God gives his message to this messenger through Elijah. Ahaziah is going to die because he put Baal-zebub first instead of God. And so Ahaziah's messengers return rather quickly. It would have taken a long time to go to Ekron in the land of the Philistines. And Ahaziah says, wait, how'd you get back so quick? And so they tell him the story. A man came to meet us, and he told us this, thus says the Lord. Is it because there is no God in Israel that you are sending to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die. God does not give up his rightful place as God easily. And we need to remember this, as we've said, in our own lives and in our nation. It was a very evil thing. Despite the fact that there may be some truth to it, when the president said a number of years ago, we are no longer a Christian nation. That we are taking ourselves away from God. We must not put other things in God's place. But Ahaziah recognizes who this is. This is Elijah. He says, "What kind of man was it who came up to you and told you these words?" They answered him, "A hairy man wearing a leather belt around his waist." And he said, "It is Elijah the Tishbite." And so God's message comes whether or not they want it. We need to realize that in our culture today as well. People don't want God's word. Does that mean we don't speak it to them? We need to speak God's word. Because whether it be a word of judgment or a word of hope, we need to realize that the culture needs to be given that salt, that light. If the church just hides the word of God inside of the walls of the church, we're not being salt and light. We are just being, you know, as Jesus said, what good is salt if it's not salty? And that means in each one of our lives, that doesn't mean just that, well, then you've got to find a pastor who can be all involved in that. Our lives need to be salty. And that doesn't always mean we're going to be popular. God never said we were supposed to be popular. Jesus was not popular with the world around him. But we need to be salt in this world with the gospel, with the good news of Jesus Christ, whether or not it's what people want to hear. And as we continue then, we see that God brings judgment on the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So, first of all, as we have just read, Ahaziah realizes that it was Elijah who had sent back the message. Elijah's word comes true, so Ahaziah's hope for any safety had just gone out the window. So he sends 50 men with a captain, 51 actually. He spoke to him, "Man of God, the king has said, come down." I'm just doing my job, by the way. Got to learn that. If we are just doing our job in the service of evil, God will judge. And so when someone sends us to do evil, even when that person has authority, we need to be ready to say, "No, I can't do that. I can't arrest Elijah. I cannot arrest God's servant." And it's going to come down to that, I think, in our culture, that there are going to be orders to arrest pastors and the people in the sheriff's offices and things like that need to have the guts to say no. And we as human beings need to have the guts to say, "I will not follow through on wicked orders." But the captain comes to Elijah, commands at the king's command, "Come down." And note that he calls Elijah, "Man of God." And Elijah turns around that language on him, and he says, "If I am a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men." God's judgment. I'm just doing orders. King said, "Come." The man and his 50 men with him. You know, you think you have 50 men walk up to you, march up to you, with a commander in battle gear. That seems pretty intimidating. But again and again, we need to be reminded who has the authority in these situations. It's not man. The weapons of war are nothing against God. And we see that again and again throughout history. But Ahaziah doesn't get the picture. Sends another 50 men. And this man says more urgently, "Come down quickly." Again, king says, But again, he addresses Elijah as a man of God. But I still get to command you. Who speaks? Whose authority? It's not man's, it's God's. And so man commanding God doesn't get anywhere, does he? And Elijah says, if I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven, consume you and your 50 men. And fire came down. We need to be very careful who we follow. God judges not only for the leaders and the rulers who do evil things. God judges those who follow evil leaders and rulers. This is again and again one of the reasons that I want you reading the Bible. Because it's not just about what the pastor preaches in the front of church. We need to have the wisdom to say, is this good? Is this biblical? Or is this evil? Where's this going to get us? We need to have discernment. And we need to have the guts to stand up on our own two feet. God will protect his people who stand on his word. Think of what Luther said. Here I stand, I can do no other. And so the third captain and his 51 men come. And he doesn't command. He doesn't demand. What does he say? Man of God, please let my life and the life of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight. Notice he doesn't even demand that Elijah come. He's sent from the king. He's got the command of the king. Notice where he puts himself as a servant to Elijah and thereby as a servant of God. There's a big difference there, isn't there? Where are we placing ourselves, especially as rules and laws come down that are not right? Do we place ourselves in service of God and in service of God's servants? Or are we placing ourselves in the service of the ruler who tells, do this, do that? And this captain was self-reflective enough to realize that the previous two groups had been burned to a crisp. He says, verse 14, look, fire has come down from heaven and burned up the first two captains of 50s with their 50s. But now let my life be precious in your sight. He begged for his life from this old man sitting on top of a hill. What did we have as a description earlier? What was this man like? A hairy man wearing a leather belt around his waist. And when these men came to them, he's sitting on top of a hill. He's not hiding. And we as Christians don't have to hide. We as Christians need to stand on the Word of God. And God then tells Elijah he would be safe with this captain. The first two, Elijah would not have been. The angel of the Lord said to Elijah, go down with him, do not be afraid of him. So he went down with him to the king. God protects his servants. Those who oppose God and his people will receive God's judgment both in this life and eternally. And so Elijah goes along and brings God's message of judgment because Ahaziah inquired of Baal-zebub and not of God himself. God, through Elijah, tells Ahaziah directly and starts with the reason for his judgment. Because you have sent messengers to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, is there because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word. God is the one who needs to direct our lives, not the things of this world, not the things that our culture thinks are important. God is. Because you did not give God the honor and the glory that is due to him, Ahaziah would die. And of course, the judgment comes to pass. God's word comes to pass. Ahaziah died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. And because he had no son, Joram became king in his place. He became king in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Now we've got Jehoram kings, two different people, kings in Israel and in Judah. Jehoram, by the way, is Ahaziah's brother. But again, what is the ending that this passage concludes with? Now, the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? God knows not only what the righteous did, God knows the evil that has been done. And God will judge. And God judged Ahaziah because he did not give God the glory to which he was due. And brothers and sisters, we need to be very careful that we give God the glory that he deserves. Psalm 33 tells us that a horse is a vain hope for safety. No matter what military might anyone might have, it's not going to keep us safe. Sending 50 men fully armed against one does not guarantee the victory of the 50 men. God is the one who always rules. We need to give God the glory. And we are called to seek our hope, our guidance, first of all, from God. Not from the things of this world, not from the wisdom of men, and definitely not from demons. We give God the glory in everything we do. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that we would have you in your right place in our thoughts, in our hearts, in our lives, that we would honor you and not seek after, run after the things of this world. That we would not seek the wisdom of men, first of all, but that we would seek the wisdom of God. And that we especially would not seek the wisdom of demons. We praise you, Lord, that you have given to us your word. We pray, Lord, that as we read it day by day, week by week, that we would be built up in the truth. And Lord, help us, cleanse us from the foolishness of our sinful selves that we so easily seek after. We thank you that Christ came into this world. And yes, he is our Savior, but he is also, as you tell us, the wisdom from God, that your wisdom became flesh as well, and that he is the one who came into this world. And he spoke so often in wisdom. And we pray, Lord, that we would hear his wisdom. And we pray, Lord, as we consider as well, your wisdom was to send your son to the cross in our place. And so, Lord, help us not to follow after and to put our own lives as most important, but to put your glory as most important. We pray, Lord, that our lives would glorify you, that our lives would glorify our Savior. For we pray these things in Jesus' name, praying as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.